I think this passage of scripture is familiar to most of us. It is, of course, the parable of the sower and the seed. And the passage of scripture reminds us that the word, the Bible, is the seed. The seed is the word of God. And the Bible goes into this passage of explaining the seed and what it can accomplish and what it does. I had checked on my phone, and I was looking up fruits and vegetables and the seeds that they produced. Now, how many of you have opened a grape before? Have you ever opened a grape or bit into a grape? Now, there's a kind that are seedless, and there are a kind that have seeds in them. Now, my doctor told me the best for your heart is the kind with seeds. I'm supposed to eat a lot of seeds. I don't know why. I'm a seedy character. But that's what the doctor told me. He said seeds. But how many of you would guess how many seeds are in the average grape that is that has seeds in it, the seeded kind of grape? How many of you would guess how many are in there? Would you guess? Two? You're wrong. Bong. Sorry. There are 4 to 5 seeds in every grape. Now, each cluster, I'm going to ask you to be a mathematician tonight, all right? Each cluster of grapes has between 60 and 80 grapes in it. Each vine in each season will last, each vine in each season will produce approximately 60 clusters of grapes, and each vine can last up to 80 years. Now, how many seeds is that? Some of you are getting your calculator out, you know. Some of you are on your phone, your watch, doobie-doobie-doobie-doo. Amen. You say, I figured out how much that is. Do you know how much that is? That's a whole bunch. Yeah. Amen? That is a whole bunch. But imagine every vineyard had to come from one seed. And then that one grape, those grapes, had to have seeds taken out of what they produced. And imagine how many grape vineyards there are across the world, because somebody took a seed, planted it, then took those seeds and planted them, and that process just kept going on and on and on. How many of you are tomato growers? Tomato growers. How many seeds are in the average tomato? One tomato. About 100? Well, we're not getting into technical. Amen. All right. Some of y'all are getting too technical for me. Keep it simple. Amen. Simple, simple, simple is good. All right. There's the average between 100 and 200 seeds in each tomato. How many tomatoes does one tomato plant produce? I figured that one out too. A whole bunch.
Yeah, a whole bunch.
Whole bunch. A lot. And doesn't it almost reach a point where it becomes innumerable, where the numbers just increase? Now, here's my point tonight. My point tonight is that one seed can create that entire bush, all of that fruit and all of those seeds. Have you ever wondered why there's not just one seed in these things? Have you ever wondered why? When you bite into a grape, there's not one seed, there's 4 or 5. When you bite into a tomato, there's not one seed, there's 100, there's 200. Every fruit is that way. Every fruit that God made has more seeds in it than that one original seed. Now, why is that? It's because this passage of scripture, God is explaining to us that when you plant a seed, you take a seed, the seed does not always land in the right place. Now, that's my first point about the passage tonight, is that seeds do not always produce something. How many of you planted a garden and it just did not come up that year? You ever done that? I've done that. In fact, I don't plant gardens anymore. Because when I plant a garden, it doesn't come up. Amen? Lauren, my daughter, can take a watermelon seed. She'll plant watermelon and she'll have a bunch of watermelons. We had watermelons one year from Lauren, but she's not home anymore, so we don't have watermelon anymore. But anyhow, I'm simply saying tonight that if you take that grape and you pull out all five seeds in that one grape, some of them will not reproduce. Some of them will not create a grapevine. Some will. You know, God told us that in his word. Notice that. In verse number 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. Now, I don't understand why somebody hears the word, they get saved, and you never see them again. But maybe that is one answer, is the old devil gets in somebody's heart, like that seed, he takes that seed out of that heart, and that seed does not produce fruit. Now, I don't understand that. I've led people to the Lord before that I believed were genuinely saved, and I tried my best to be thorough in understanding. By the way, I don't think 1, 2, 3, pray after me is good enough. I'm telling you. There needs to be some conviction and the settling in of the working of the Holy Spirit when a person gets saved. And so I don't understand all the time why when you plant a seed, why that old devil comes and takes the seed out. But I know God told us it happens. And maybe that's why God allowed many seeds to be produced. Not every time you plant a tomato bush is that tomato. I planted a cherry tomato bush one time. I had over 200 cherry tomatoes. And the ironic part of it is I hate cherry tomatoes. And so I pulled them all off and fed them to the kids. My kids ate them like grapes. They loved them. But now, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that God has an amazing way of working with seeds. Sometimes those seeds just, they don't produce. You ever handed out that track and you never heard from that person again? You ever talk to that person in the restaurant? You ever talk to that person out soul winning? You ever talk to that mom on the bus? Maybe they came, maybe they didn't, but may I tell you what? God tells us sometimes those seeds do not produce. Now that's sad. That's sad. Now secondly, I want you to notice a seed has to be spread in order for it to be profitable. A seed has to be spread. You have to take the seed and put it in ground. You know, seeds are interesting things. You can go in the store, Walmart, and buy a packet of seeds. They rest dormant in a package of seeds. They don't die, but they don't live also. Right?
Yeah.
Seeds are amazing. Something in my face. But seeds are amazing. You can get that packet of seeds, and it will stay in that packet. I've heard that they've taken seeds that have been dug up in archaeological investigations and pulled those seeds out and planted those seeds that were dug from centuries ago, and they produce fruit. Now, I don't understand that. I don't understand how seed really works and how God did it. But God compares the word of God to seeds. And in order for a seed to be productive, it has to be spread. It has to be given. It has to be given out. Now, notice verse 20. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. When the tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. Now sometimes someone gets offended at the word and they take, and that seed leaves their heart. And they never grow. They never, and some never get saved. Some never get saved. I wish it were not that way. I wish it were that every person who gave a gospel tract to read it and they trusted Christ as their Savior. I wish that were the case. But God tells us it's not always so. Now that should not discourage us in any way, because there is a principle about seeds that God does want us to understand that is the most encouraging thought about these seeds. So I'm saying the seed is the word. Secondly, some seeds do not produce anything. And thirdly, a seed must be spread. Now here I want to get to what I want to say tonight. Number four is if you spread enough seeds, something will take root. If you spread enough seeds, something will take root. Now, when I was pastoring in Oregon, I started a church. A lady told me I was going to plant corn. She told me a little thing to do. She said, now, when you get your corn rows ready to plant, she says, don't just put one seed in the spot where you're going to plant the corn. Put two or three seeds. I said, well, what if three stalks of corn grow up? She said, that might happen. And so early on, you just pull the other two out and allow the one to grow strong. But the idea is that you'll have a better chance of something growing with three seeds as compared to one seed. Now, that's smart farming. You just don't know how smart of a farmer I am. That's smart farming. That is intelligent farming. Because one seed may not work. And I noticed as I planted that row that only one seed most of the time would come up. Some I had to take and cull out the second and the third stalk that rose. Sometimes I had to call that out. But I found an interesting thing. There was something growing in every spot that I planted three seeds. Something took off. Now, what if I planted one? If I planted one and that one was a dud, then it would make me look like a bad farmer. Because you'd have corn, 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 dud. Corn, corn, dud, dud. Corn, corn. And all the neighbors would drive by and say, boy, that Brother Larson, he's a dud farmer. Look at all the duds he's got down there. He didn't. Now, what am I trying to say? I'm simply saying tonight that if you and I plant more seed, the more seed we plant, the more opportunity we're going to have to see people saved. You think you'll do better with passing out 10 tracts or one? Right. How about 100 tracts versus 10? How much seed do you think this earth can bear? I think it can bear every seed we can possibly plant. In every way, in every fashion, in every form, in every place. Hand out seeds in the laundromat. Put out seeds at the gas station. Put out seeds everywhere you go. Give seeds here at the restaurant. Listen, soul winning is not go on Saturday. Soul winning is going Sunday through Sunday through Sunday. It's all the time. All the time. Why? Because we're going to give out seeds everywhere we go. Charles Spurgeon preached a sermon on a leaky seed basket. And the story is about a man who has a basket, or a bag, if you will, like a burlap bag, I picture. And in the bottom, he's got a hole in his seed basket. And as he's walking home, that seed leaks out of the basket. And everywhere he goes, something sprouts up here and there. Not all of it, but something sprouts up. And I want to say to you tonight, that is the power of one seed. How many of you ever heard of the Heinz Ketchup Company? Interesting story about Mr. Heinz, the man who created and began the Heinz ketchup company. It is known that but few know of the zeal of this man as a soul winner. At a revival meeting one day, a preacher turned to him and he said, "You're a Christian man, aren't you?" He said, "Then why aren't you up and at it?" He went home in anger. He went to bed, but in bed he could not sleep. At 4 a.m, he prayed that God would make him a power in his work, and then he went back to sleep. The next day, a meeting of the bank presidents, which attended shortly afterward, he turned to the man next to him and spoke to him about Christ. His friend looked at him in amazement. He said, "I wondered..." To be continued. I found it. This is how I hold your attention. "I wondered how many times you never spoke to me about it if you really believed in Christ." That man was the first of 267 people that Mr. Heinz won to Christ after that. You know, sometimes we just have to be bothered. Sometimes the Holy Spirit just has to make us feel lower than a snake's belt buckle in a wagon rut about our Christianity and our lack of service to the Lord. Sometimes God uses others to, in a sense, put us to shame. Not to discourage us, but to stir us, to spur us, to get more seeds out. Seeds are the key if you spread enough seeds. But here's what I want you to see tonight. I want you to notice the multiplying power of one seed. Verse 23, "He that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some in hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. God is teaching us that we can be like that seed in a grape. If you plant all four seeds, let's say only one of them grows up and becomes a grapevine, that grape in time grows up and produces all of those grape seeds that we talked about from that one seed of grape. It's amazing. The more we get out, the more opportunity that one that really takes root will have an opportunity to hear it. Now, you may think I'm crazy, but I believe that one of the next great preachers in this world is somewhere in Moore, Oklahoma. I believe the next great preacher in this world is, you say, "Did you have any special revelation from God?" No. Didn't have any special revelation from God. You say, "What makes you say that?" Because when you get the seed out, it's going to take root in somebody. Amen. Somebody. I don't know who that somebody is. Maybe they come in on a bus one day. Maybe they're a bus kid who makes more messes on the bus than they clean up. You never know. You never know what that one will become. You never know what the power of that one seed can accomplish. You say, "Well, preacher, sometimes it seems discouraging that you plant many seeds and they don't come to fruition." Hear me. You're looking for that one. You're looking for that one where when you plant that seed, it lands on good ground and it produces 100-fold. That's the value of the seeds. But we'll never know. We'll never know. We'll never find it with just putting a seed here or a seed there. The numbers don't work that way. We got to just keep putting seeds out everywhere we go, everywhere we go, everywhere we go, and just trust the Lord that one lands on good ground. Amen. You know, I think of some of the good seeds that even have already happened in our church. I think of old Sam down here. He's a mess. Amen. But he's a good one. We love him. Somewhere, somebody planted a seed in his heart and his life. And despite everything in his life, the seed just keeps on growing and multiplying. Amen. I don't know who it was that planted that seed. He might know. But whoever it was, I'll tell you what, I bet they're glad they planted that seed that day. I bet their time and their labor was not in vain that day. And if he doesn't make it for the Lord, we're going to all come and find him and beat him up. Amen.
Amen.
We'll do it with the love of Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Listen, I'm simply saying tonight, there's power in a multiplicity of seeds. You know, isn't it funny? God never rationed the seed. He never said, now, when you go out sowing on Saturday, you're limited to 100 tracts. If you hand out more than 100, you have to go home. Did God ever say that? No, God just said it where you go every time. There is no limit on the amount of seed. Amen. You know, by the way, let me just throw this in there. You know, we hear about population explosion. And there are so many people. They say there's so many people in the world, we'll never have enough food to feed everybody. Can I tell you what? Most of us could go in our backyard, and if we really got serious, we could plant enough food to live on. Don't give me this overpopulation stuff. By the way, if you put every person in the world in one 18-inch square, you would not even fill up the city of Jacksonville, Florida. You would not.
Right.
And by the way, there are people out there who want to decrease our population and take people's lives and kill people.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
That's true. There are people who think we're so overpopulated, we've got to kill people. By the way, think of that. The reason they want to save the world is so they can save people. So they're saving people by killing people. How ungodly. How twisted. That's a rabbit trail, folks. I just had to go there. I had to get on that one a little bit. Brother Dodson's coming, and I don't want him to think I'm a liberal. So I had to preach something like that. Now, listen, I'm just in a funny mood tonight, all right? But I'm simply saying, if you spread enough seeds, it's going to take root on one. Ed Kimball was a Sunday school teacher, and D.L. Moody visited his class as a boy, young man. And he went and led D.L. Moody to the Lord in the back of a shoe store where he was working. And D.L. Moody became a preacher of the gospel. And D.L. Moody, it said he led over 1 million people to Christ in his life through his ministry. But now, wait a minute. What about all the preachers that came from that? And what about the preachers we don't even know about that came from that? And the mothers and the children that got saved. What about all the fruit from that? We're probably, many of us, are direct descendants of D.L. Moody, who was led to Christ by a man who planted that one seed that day. I'm saying to you tonight, get the seed out. Don't leave the seed in the barn. It has a multiplying power. It can multiply. It can grow beyond what we can understand. And we all would like for that one seed, for those seeds to root here, there, and do a little bit in everyone. But I want to tell you something. There's also the principle in Scripture where you put the seed in one and that seed multiplies 100-fold. Boy, I tell you what, I'm looking for that one in Moore, Oklahoma.
Amen.
I am. Let's go find them. Let's go find that soul. Let's put that seed in that heart and that life of that person. There's a man named T.J. Bach. T.J. Bach was a student in Copenhagen, Denmark, many years ago. T.J. Bach was walking down the street on a Sunday afternoon, and he noticed a young man crossing the street specifically to give him a gospel tract. Bach took the tract, he crushed it in his hands, and he muttered that people should mind their own business. Young man didn't respond, but instead turned aside to pray. As tears began to run down his cheeks, noticing the man's tears, Bach thought, that man gave his money to buy the tract. He also gave his time to distribute it. And now he has given his heart in prayer for me. The young man's compassion toward Bach's crude behavior brought a deep conviction. And half an hour later in his room, Bach pasted the tract together. Before finishing reading it, he fell down on his knees asking God to forgive him. You never know. You never know what it can do. We get busy. We get wrapped up. I want to say keep tracts in your pocket every day. Have you ever felt bothered or under conviction that you went somewhere, you thought to hand out the tract, and you didn't have one? You didn't have one. I've done it. And I feel lower than a snake's belt buckle in a wagon rut when that happens. I feel low. I feel convicted about that. Carry tracts with you everywhere you go. Put them in your car. Make it a goal in your life. Hand out tracts. Go through your neighborhood again. Go through your neighborhood again. Let's empty that tract rack every week. Let's keep getting seeds out there. That one that we do not know yet. That one who may be living a life of sin and living a life away from God. Maybe they think they're fine, but they have not been saved. The seed needs to come into their heart. They need to hear it again. They need to hear it. I think there's even people out there where verse 19 talks about the seed stolen out of the heart by the wicked one. I think there's people out there who you give the gospel to again. They may be saved or may have been saved at some time, but that somehow the word got snatched out of their heart, or they're not living for God. It can reignite their heart to turn back to God, live for God again. We don't know, but we know that one seed can produce an unbelievable amount. Oh, that's what we're looking for. That's what we're looking for. How many of you would take a seed and hope to get one small tomato off of that plant? Or how many would take that grape seed, put it in the ground, and hope that you get one grape? See, God doesn't work that way. God says when you put that seed in the ground, you're going to get a whole lot more fruit. You don't just get one grape. You get a whole vine full of grapes. You don't get just one tomato. You get the Heinz Tomato Company. You get a lot of tomatoes. This is a principle that God has. And can I tell you, the principle should motivate every Christian, because in life, we need some thoughts in our hearts that our life made a difference in somebody or many somebodies. And when we go to heaven one day, we're going to want to know we left some good seed on this ground. Amen. We want to know that somebody heard it and that somebody desired to be saved. And God said, just that one seed, when it lands on good ground, they hear the word, and it beareth fruit, 100-fold, 60, some 30. There's a man named Mark Goodger. Mark Goodger. He made it a weekly practice to hand out tracts from door to door. And one day in South Carolina, he stopped at a house and he rang the bell. Because he heard sounds on the inside, He knew someone was home, so he kept ringing the bell, even though no one came. Finally, a man appeared. He took the tract he offered and rudely slammed the door in his face. A week later, Goodger returned to the same house. This time, the man was answered almost immediately. He invited him in and asked him to come to the attic of his house. There, he saw a sturdy rope dangling from the rafters with a box below it. Man said, "Friend, when you rang my bell last week, my head was in that noose, and I was ready to jump off that box. But you were so persistent that I decided to go down and see who it was and kill myself later. After receiving your tract, I read it because its title interested me, and through it, God spoke to me. And instead of jumping off the box that day, I knelt beside it and gave my heart to the Lord. How thankful I was that Goodger had been diligent in his witness. Without that little leaflet, that man would have gone into eternity unsaved." Oh, I want to tell you, there's power in the gospel. There's power in a tract. Don't worry about the belligerent man. Get the seed out. Don't worry about the uninterested lady. Just get the seed out. Don't worry about the child who doesn't have time. Just get the seed out. Don't worry about the looks. Don't worry about what they may say. Don't worry about what they may think. Don't worry about how they treat you. Just get the seed out. Get the seed out. Oh, you never know. You never, never know what that one seed can do and what can accomplish. And I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you. Get some seed. Get some seed and do it again. You say, "I've been through my neighborhood." Have you ever stopped to think, though, new people move in that neighborhood? New people move in. Some people pass away in that neighborhood, and a new neighbor comes in that house. They may need that seed. There may be the one who got that gospel tract, and maybe they didn't appreciate you putting it on their door or on their car. I got a call not too long ago from a lady who was disgusted. I said, "Ma'am, what's wrong? Somebody put a piece of paper from your church on my car while I was in Costco." I said, "Well, ma'am, have you read it?" "No, I didn't read it." You know what I said? "Thank God somebody did it." By the way, if there wasn't power in the track, why would they get so mad? Why'd they get so unhappy? Why would they get so upset? If it wasn't real and it didn't work. I'm telling you why. There's seed. And by the way, there are people. There are people out there. You never know. The person who receives it gladly may never do anything with it. And then the one who receives it angrily may be the one who takes it in and listens. And it produces this fruit in their life. You never know. You never know. But I know one thing. When there's no seed, it never happens. And where there's few seeds, little happens. But where there's a lot of seed, the chances of that one taking root, that is why we give our whole lives to serve the Lord. By the way, that's why Christians, we can't afford to get discouraged in our soul winning. Can't afford it. Can't afford to say, "Well, I got other things I got to do on Saturday. I got other things I got to do during the week." Oh, let me tell you something. It's going to matter in heaven someday. Let's keep passing out seeds everywhere you go. Put them in your purse. Listen, ladies, God gave you a purse for a reason. Amen. God gave you a purse for a reason. And that ain't to hit your husband with it. Amen. It's not the reason. Load that thing up with tracts. Give them out everywhere you go. Give them to the one you think will receive it, and give them to the one you think will, or the one that you think won't. Just keep giving out the seed, because it brings forth, as Jesus said, in the life of that one, many hundredfold. Let's keep giving out the seeds. Let's bow our heads tonight.